It's throwback weekend in Green Bay this weekend as the Packers take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Will Clay Matthews prevent the Panthers from running all over them? We'll break it all down next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. We're supposed to have a guest joining us. I hope he's going to call in. We're supposed to have Stevie of Cheeseheads with Attitude, the band CWA, join us on the show. We're waiting for his phone call. We've set it all up ahead of time. Don't worry, we're just waiting on that. But we'll continue to break down the game here on the live version of our show as we continue to wait. So looking forward to that. The reason we're bringing CWA on the show this morning is because we are having Throwback Weekend in Green Bay, the annual Cheesehead TV sponsored event. We're very excited. Lots of cool stuff going on in the Bay this weekend. Come check it out. Those of you who have done it in the past know how great it is. Feel free to share how awesome it is on social media, on our live blog. Tell everybody that they should come. It's a tweet up party Saturday night at the Green Bay Distillery. 4 drink tickets if you sign up. It's a tailgate party Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon before the game. All you can eat and drink. Beer provided by Stillmank Brewery. In fact, Cheesehead TV has set up a free brewery tour and tasting Saturday afternoon, 2 to 5 p.m. Please, we'll see you there. We've got all these cool things going on, and CWA, Cheeseheads with Attitude, is playing at the distillery both Saturday night and Sunday before the game. Lots of music, lots of good time, a lot of laughs to be had, smiles to be shared. I'll be there. I hope you're going to be there too. So enough for the advertisement for Throwback Weekend. Let's talk about the game. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. The Packers, winners of 3 straight, started the season 1-2. Aaron Rodgers had to tell everybody to relax. I think the Packers are relaxed because they're on a roll. They've won 3 straight, a couple of those within the division. Everything's looking pretty hunky-dory for the Packers right now, especially with a game coming up on their home turf. I'm feeling good about the Packers' chances. You know, I think they have some momentum. I think the fact that they're playing at Lambeau Field, I think the fact that they're playing a winnable game against the Carolina Panthers, not that it's going to be easy by any means, but I just think they continue this roll they got going. So, you know, some of the injury issues are on everybody's mind, I think, right now. Of course, all week long, and we spent a lot of time breaking this down the last episode, the cornerback situation. You know, we didn't really know at the time on Wednesday what was going to happen, but 2 days of practice have transpired since our last episode. Sam Shields and Tremont Williams have not practiced yet this week. Still kind of don't know their status. Mike McCarthy said they would give them up until game time to see if they can play. but Sam Shields with the knee injury, Tremont Williams with the ankle injury, I would say it's not looking good right now. Not that it's out of the question, but not looking good. You know, if the Packers can't go with them, they're going to rely on a bunch of backups. Mike McCarthy also said he thought Tremont Williams was closer than Sam Shields is to returning. Could be a situation where we see Tremont Williams play and Sam Shields not. You know, again here, I mean, it's just so up in the air right now. It's tough to, you know, project what's going to happen. Maybe we'll get a little bit more insight later on Friday as the Packers release their last injury report of the week. Of course, they give those game prognostications, you know, where they list all the players as out, doubtful, questionable, probable. You know, all of a sudden, if Tremont Williams is listed as probable, you know, we will have a better idea that it's probably likely he'll play. I'm not saying that's the case. We'll find out later on Friday, but we're definitely waiting to find that out to see if you know, Devon House and Casey Hayward kind of take over those roles at the cornerback position. I do feel good that the Packers can get through this stretch without their starting cornerbacks. I like what Casey Hayward and Devon House have done. I went through that last episode, so not going to get into that too much. But I do feel good about the Packers cornerbacks and the secondary in general. Other Packers injury situations. News from yesterday. Defensive lineman Dayton Jones drops out of Thursday's practice after practicing on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, you felt pretty good. You thought, oh, Dayton Jones and his sprained ankle are going to return. He sat out last week's Miami Dolphins game, kind of gave him some rest, didn't play. And you thought, well, he's on the road to recovery. He practiced. It was only on a limited basis, but at least he practiced. And then he sat out on Thursday. Mike McCarthy saying he hasn't progressed the way they would like or they thought. It's probably not looking good that Dayton Jones is going to play. But you know what? The Packers, they played without him against the Dolphins. They got through it. You know, it probably wasn't the ideal situation. You'd like Dayton Jones to be out there. But you know what? Injuries happen. You fight through them. You know, the young guys on the defensive line, Mike Pinnell, Luther Robinson, those guys are going to have to play a little bit of a bigger role. And they did last week. You know, they're not playing huge roles by any means. But you know what's been good for the Packers on the defensive line, at least, is that their free agent signing, LaTroy Guyon, has played rather well, especially the past 2-3 weeks, especially the last 2 weeks against the Vikings and the Dolphins. He's really come on. And maybe a lot of it has to do with LaTroy Guyon going back to training camp. You remember, he sat out almost all of training camp. He had a hamstring issue that basically put him on the shelf for like a month. I mean, maybe it just took him some time to come back from that, get into the swing of things. But heck, he's been balling out the past few weeks here. That's helping ease the sting of the loss of Dayton Jones for the time being. I would say, you know, if I had to guess, Dayton Jones isn't going to play. But that's another thing we're waiting on. Finally, the status of Jamari Lattimore. You'll remember he exited last week's Dolphins game with a neck injury. And you kind of thought, oh, neck, that's definitely not a good thing anytime you hear that in the context of football. I mean, context of anything with a neck injury is not good. But he returns to practice this week, first day of practice on Wednesday. He's out there. And again, you thought, oh, good news. He's only been practicing on a limited basis, but the fact that he's been practicing at all, That's definitely good for the Packers. They could use Jamari Lattimore out there. Packer fans saw what Brad Jones is capable of early in the season. He was the starter week one against the Seahawks, ended up getting injured, had a quad injury, but came back. Then he replaced Jamari Lattimore after Lattimore left the game. Brad Jones struggled again. You know, the Packers are just a better team with Lattimore than Jones out there. You know, I'm certainly not in the category as I think you get on social media and some people are so vocal at Jones, they want the Packers to cut him. I don't think that's the answer. He's not really all that great, but I don't think there's any street free agents out there that are going to perform better than Brad Jones is right now. And he does do some good things. As Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal astutely pointed out in his game review position by position, how good of a blitzer Brad Jones is. And I think that's a good point. Brad Jones, I think, is really good when he's running north to south. I think he can get up ahead of steam and seems to like to attack the quarterback. Now, if we're talking laterally, he struggles. And it's tough because A.J. Hawk does the same thing. So when you got two inside linebackers that struggle to move laterally, that's not a good thing for your defense. And that's definitely something Jamari Lattimore does well, is move sideline to sideline a little bit better. But, you know, they have their strengths and weaknesses. Brad Jones moves good front to back and you know, can actually cover better than A.J. Hawk. And, you know, he can blitz and you live with the weaknesses. And the same thing with A.J. Hawk. You know, he's not very fast, doesn't move very well laterally, can't cover, but he's smart, he's heady, he's instinctive. I think sometimes his instincts don't show up quite so awesome. That's put that rather awkwardly. They don't show up quite that well because of his lack of speed, but he's a good leader. He communicates well to the rest of the team, the play calls, things like that. You live with those things. And hopefully, I mean, the Packers could use an upgrade at the inside linebacker position. But hopefully they get it by Lattimore just being healthy and being able to play. You know, one of the other things I wanted to break down this week, this game, that we haven't touched on a whole lot yet, is Cam Newton and the read option. Something the Packers have struggled with. And you saw it last week against Ryan Tannehill exposing the Packers with the read option. You know, it wasn't every play that they got exposed. The Dolphins last week actually ran the read option a fair amount, giving more often than not the ball to Lamar Miller, and the Packers holding them in check. But all of a sudden, all it takes is one blown play call, you know, one blown responsibility, and Ryan Tannehill, you know, streak down the field for a gain of 40 yards. And you know, those kind of things can't happen, giving up 40-yard runs. And you know, Clay Matthews is enduring a lot of criticism early this season for several reasons. I mean, first of all, Clay Matthews has one sack on the season. And I think people expect more of that from a multiple-time Pro Bowler and the highest-paid linebacker in the NFL. You know, they want more production than what they're getting out of Clay Matthews. But on top of the pass rush, on top of the lack of sacks and stats, Clay Matthews struggling with the read option, and it goes beyond Ryan Tannehill. I mean, this has been an issue for the Packers for years now, most notably with Colin Kaepernick in the San Francisco 49ers. bouncing the Packers out of the playoff two seasons in a row, 2012 and 2013 seasons, and him running the read option and getting the better of the Packers multiple times. Not to say that the Pack, you know, there were moments. Clay Matthews has had his moments too. You remember the season opener last year. We're talking the 2013 season. And what Clay Matthews did against Kaepernick really held him in check that game. You remember, I think there was one play where the 49ers ran the read option and Matthews was just ready and just like laid out Kaepernick as soon as he like handed off the football. You know, they've done a good job at times. It's just not consistent. Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, first game this year, season opener of the 2014 season, you know, ran the read option. It had done so in previous matchups as well. So it's an issue for the Green Bay Packers. And you think Clay Matthews, he's so athletic. You know, he's the type of guy who is a speed merchant for an outside linebacker in the NFL. So quick. Maybe it's more quickness than fast with Clay Matthews. But you would think he would be an asset against the read option. He's the type of guy who you would think, even if he takes a misstep, he's the kind of guy that can make up for it. You know, that's what you hope out of Clay Matthews. I see John on the live blog says, let Clay spy the quarterback. And that's an interesting thing right there. Of course, you know, Clay Matthews has acted as a spy on quarterbacks in the past. And he seems to be the Packers' best option for doing so. You know, it's A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones certainly aren't cut out for spying the quarterback. But Clay Matthews is. And that's kind of when he lines up as an inside linebacker, that position. You know, he's done it in the past against Ben Roethlisberger, notably in Super Bowl XLV. You know, and maybe that does take advantage of Clay Matthews' abilities right there. You know, they're going to have to be ready for Cam Newton, whether it's the read option or him just, you know, scrambling on a design pass play where things break down and he's got to take off on the run. Maybe Clay Matthews is better suited for that. And maybe that gets either Brad Jones or A.J. Hawk off the field in those situations. Well, the Packers still have better options at outside linebacker / defensive end like Julius Peppers, Nick Perry, and Mike Neal. Could be an option for the Packers there. Regardless, whatever Clay Matthews' role is on Sunday, he's got to start, you know, playing up to expectations, you know, and start to close plays. You know, we did see him actually that last Dolphins drive of the game where the Packers forced them to punt, actually doing pretty well, had the pass breakup on the first play of that series, later kind of hit Ryan Tannehill as he released the football. You saw it late from Clay Matthews, but again, not consistently. He was absent almost every other drive of the game. You know, not making an impact either against the run or the pass. Didn't make a single tackle against the Dolphins. A single tackle. You know, what's up with that? I mean, you think those kind of things, you know, happen by accident at least once a game. And to me, you know, I know Clay Matthews had this, what issue was it earlier in the year where he was injured? Injury doesn't seem to be an issue right now. You know, it was several weeks ago, but he looks to be, to me, to 100% out there. You know, I don't think, you know, he's injured or anything like that. He looks like he's can run. he looks like his old Clay Matthews. He's not beating anyone. You know, every pass rush move he tried last week, tried stunting several times with the defensive linemen. It's just like they knew it was coming. But I mean, even when he wasn't stunting, though, just trying to get, you know, working with speed off the edge, just neutralized, just taken out of his element, taken out of the game. You know, Clay Matthews is going to be in the crosshairs this game because for several reasons, for his lack of production and for, you know, how big of a role he's going to play against Cam Newton, whether it's a spy, whether it's, you know, stopping the read option. You know, Panthers got some issues, injury issues all around. You know, what was really interesting, too, is had the Packers faced the Panthers earlier this year, you know, the first month or so of the season, let's say the month of September at some point, you know, Cam Newton may not have been such a threat. You know, if you remember, Cam Newton had off-season ankle surgery. I mean, we're talking back in the springtime after last season ended. On top of that, he had a broken rib in the preseason this year. You know, Cam Newton was a hurting unit in about the month of August. You know, slowed by ankle surgery, had the broken rib, actually missed the Panthers season opener week one. You know, the first month of the month of September, Cam Newton hardly ran. And this is a guy who probably is the best running quarterback in the game right now. You know, kind of been a title that Michael Vick used to have. But, you know, obviously Michael Vick isn't even playing regularly right now. Cam Newton's kind of taken the torch. And, I mean, they're different runners to begin with. But, you know, he's kind of become the dual threat quarterback in the NFL. But he wasn't even a threat to run early in the season. And, you know, Cam Newton's a good passer, too, and still was effective with the pass. But now, all of a sudden, last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, it's like Cam Newton broke out, had over 100 yards rushing himself. You know, 100-yard rushing games from quarterbacks are supposed to be rather rare occurrences. And unfortunately, the Packers have given up a few Colin Kaepernick there in the past. Remember the playoff loss two seasons ago where they gave up the NFL rushing record for yards by a quarterback in the postseason? You just sit there and shake your head. So now Cam Newton's healthy. He's running the read option. He's a threat. He's a big-time threat. I mean, and again, as I was kind of alluding to here, kind of remains to be seen what's the health situation of D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart there are in Carolina. There's been some injury issues there. Kind of their status is up in the air, although it's looking good that Jonathan Stewart's going to play. Remember when those guys were like the best combo in the NFL? They were like the next big thing. That running back duo there in Carolina. Wow, that seems like a long time ago. Seems like ages ago now. But they were considered darn near two of the best running backs in the entire NFL for a time. Jamie Snowden points out on the live blog, he had 6.3 yards per carry. I assume she's talking about last week. Against the Cincinnati Bengals and Cam Newton's rushing average. Yeah, I mean, that's the Packers got to be ready for this, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, it'll certainly be easier if they get some help in the health department, if Jamari Lattimore's out there, if Deaton Jones is out there, if Sam Shields and Tremont Williams are out there. Would certainly be easy. Assuming they're not limited by injury. You know, I think the Packers got to rest these players if there's any question. You know, I obviously, if they're healthy, they can play. They're back to 100% fine. They're back to even 99%. Fine. They're play them, get them out there. But I mean, you have to err on the side of caution, don't you, a little bit? You're 2 weeks away from a bye. You know, if the Packers got to get through this, you know, rough patch without Shields, Williams, Jones, you know, I say sit them if, you know, if there's any doubt in your mind that they're not ready yet. And, you know, historically, typically, the Packers are a conservative bunch in the medical department. You know, the good thing is, though, I mean, these aren't season-ending injuries to any of these guys. I know I'm kind of going in roundabout fashion talking about injuries earlier in the game, but earlier this podcast and now coming back to it. But, I mean, it does seem that the Packers are getting a little lucky in the health department, aren't they? You know, it seemed for years, you know, basically 2010, 2012, 2013 seasons, Packers snake bitten by injuries. Tons of guys on injured reserve. And it kind of looked like, you know, during training camp, the preseason, things weren't exactly going the Packers' way either. You know, B.J. Raji, Don Barclay, Jared Aberderis, all those guys on injured reserve. And you thought, oh, man, here we go again. But since the regular season has started, the Packers have been rather healthy. Mike Levenowicz on the live blog says it's about time they get healthy. They haven't had any more big-time additions to injured reserve, more role players that have been injured since that time. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you got to get through a few weeks without Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, okay, big deal. The Packers got some pretty good young cornerbacks that can play roles. They got to live without Dayton Jones for a few weeks, so be it. You know, give these guys until the bye week where they get that extra week of rest and just get their bodies right. Get them ready for the stretch run of the season. You know, because it's going to get really tough after that bye. It's going to be a week in, week out grind, you know. And hopefully the Packers don't collapse before that time. They got so much momentum going right now. Hopefully that carries them through these next two games, no matter who's out on the field. You hope that's the case. But anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause here, folks. I'm going to try calling Stevie of CWA, Cheeseheads with Attitude, one last time here. I've got his phone number. I'm going to see if we can get him on the horn and get him on the show. I'll be right back. Hang with me, folks. Welcome back to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV, and I have some bad news, folks. I can't get in touch with Stevie from CWA. I'm just not getting an answer when I call them on the phone. I should, you know, cut them a little bit of slack. They did have a concert last night in Oshkosh. I'm sure it was probably a rather late night for CWA, but they will be playing this weekend at the Green Bay Distillery, both Saturday night before the game, Sunday tailgating before the game, going to be a concert. I'm excited for it. I'm disappointed we can't get in touch with them. But we'll try to do it at some other time and get them back on the show and see if we can't do it. But regardless, folks, thank you everybody so much for joining us on the show today. Thank you to Jamie Stone and Alex Talich on the live blog. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend, and see you at Throwback Weekend. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. Go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident. See you later, everyone.